Hi, this is John Frusciante of UCB's Long Form Conversations. About 10 minutes into this podcast, you're going to hear me mention that family has been referenced in almost every one of our podcasts so far. I meant to say Gramps. It's Gramps that has been mentioned. And now they've been mentioned again. Sorry, family. Sorry, Gramps.
Spoken to be broken, feelings untense, words are trivial, pleasures remain, so does the pain, words are meaningless and forgettable.
Hello, welcome to UCB's Long Form Conversations. Sitting across from me is bagel-mouthed Will Hines.
Sitting across from me is clear-mouthed, clear-minded John Frusciante.
Also with two cups of coffee in front of you.
I'm a mess.
What is happening over here? You had one cup of coffee and then you were thought...
nervous and reckless.
Maybe I should get an emergency cup of coffee just in case.
Just in case. Who knows how tired I'm going to get.
Right. And forming the pyramid today is Achilles Stamatolaki. Hello, Achilles.
Hello. I think it's technically a triangle.
Oh, yeah. Did I say pyramid?
It's a two-dimensional. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This thing has already gone wrong.
As always, at the other end of the table, our podcast intern, Sypha Sounds.
Good evening.
Hi, Sypha.
And Sypha, you have a different podcast intern today, Semra.
This is Semra.
Hi, Semra.
Hi, Semra.
Hello, Semra.
The lovely Semra taking pictures.
No, I think that's... You shouldn't just... Okay, we'll talk
about that. Go ahead. Come on, let's tackle it now.
On talk shows of any kind, whenever there's like a female guest of any kind and they say lovely, it always bothers... My goal, Sypha, have I ever told you this? Semra, I'm curious what your opinion is. You didn't do anything that bad. I already feel... The two cups of coffee.
No, now
crazy.
It's out in the open. Now I'm going to get a lot of hate.
If I ever get into talk show, if I'm ever famous enough, I want them to introduce me as he's as talented as he is beautiful, Will Hines.
Okay.
Because I feel like that's something they always say, like with female like actresses or comedians. With comedians, it really stands out to me because I guess with an actor, actress, what you look like is a big part of your product. So it's okay to say if somebody's like good looking because that's like part of your deal.
Yeah.
But if you're like a scientist. And it's like, you are as intelligent as you are beautiful. It's like, well, that's irrelevant. Yeah. It's like you don't bring out a male scientist and be like, he is as important to chemistry as he is with his vertical leap.
Well, it probably was a little inappropriate of me.
It's dumb that I even got this, brought this so
and
far.
And they always, the talk show.
Should we start over literally?
If you want to.
I feel like I've ruined this already.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, boy.
The host always, like the first thing they compliment the person on is like, oh, you look great.
Yeah.
You look really great.
We're all animals.
I should say that you're also lovely, Will. You know,
that's really what I was
thinking. I know I've kind of buried my feelings about that, but I should say that I think you're lovely.
Thank you. You're looking pretty good.
Hey, thanks.
You're okay.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
We're all attractive people.
So here's what happened.
Before we talk about what happened, I just want to very quickly say, I know I feel like I say this every week, but I'm continuously impressed and pleased by the positive feedback about this podcast. I feel like even just this week, I heard some people saying like, oh, I'm so happy that it's back. It's really great. So thank you, everybody, for continuing to listen. As I always say, I'm shocked that anybody listens to this in the first place. But apparently people do.
Right.
We may have finally created something successful, Will, you and I.
I won't believe it.
Yeah. This is why you guys get paid the big bucks.
That's right.
You guys are rolling in it now. That
we're rolling in the deep.
It's relaunched, right?
This podcast. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, we're sponsored by audible.org.
And Stitcher. And Stitcher Radio.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So you were going to say what happened, Will.
Well, first I just want to say we got a great setup here. We used to be beneath a green screen draped over our heads, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And two big, like, science fair looking dividers.
Yeah.
Now we're, like, on a regular table. Mm-hmm. Sypha's got a for real mixer with XLR cables going into it. He's got his laptop. We all have our own microphones.
Yeah.
This looks like a normal thing.
This is an actual podcast now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah.
I have some stats. For October, when we relaunched this, 182 people downloaded it, but it was new.
Wow, we
so
have
far,
stats
So far, November,
now.
1,200 people have downloaded it.
You're kidding me.
That is
1,200
insane.
People?
Well, 1,200 downloads. So that could
that's
be like David Bloodband doing it 1,000 times.
Right, because he keeps forgetting.
That is
he
what he does.
He keeps forgetting where he put the file.
So I don't know how about unique.
It's like, what folder did I put it in?
Tim Martin's has been downloaded 554. His has been up the longest. Elaine Carroll's 421 and Abra's 381.
Wow.
That's really impressive.
That is impressive.
And that's Over 1,000. I thought it would be like a few hundred.
I thought it'd be like two or three.
Two or three.
Total.
No, yeah, total. Yeah, I did too.
Can you listen without downloading?
No.
You can't listen on iTunes without downloading?
No, that downloads.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Oh.
That just links to our site.
Oh.
Oh, I see.
Huh.
So, no, really, John Frusciante, to be a successful improviser in 2012 was sort of like being the backup inker on Will Eisner's Spirit in 1941.
Oh, good reference.
Yeah. That's maybe the nerdiest reference.
Bring more people in. That's what I say. Yeah. Bring them in early. Mm-hmm. So, all right, here's the deal. We have Achilles. And usually what we do is we bring on a guest, we talk about their life a lot, and we get their theories in improv. Achilles, mm-hmm. we're not interested in your life.
Yeah, okay. We don't care.
What we're doing today is pure improv theory.
Mm-hmm.
Strategies on like how to perform improv, maybe how to teach it or learn it,
mm-hmm.
real improv nerdy stuff. And Achilles, you have been around forever and taken a million classes and done a million things.
That's
you're
true.
Right.
Valuable to us in that way.
That's right.
But as a human being, you mean nothing to us, and I want you to know that right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I agree.
To get these formalities out there, you are currently on Airwolf. Right.
That is, I am. That is true.
I mean, I'm already I'm on running, Airwolf. My patience is running thin on this already.
And you are on a beta team.
I'm on the beta team Scraps.
That's right.
Which means you make videos.
That's right.
Under the normal UCB contract of for no money.
Yes, exactly. That's
right. And you are on a mod team.
Yes, called the Prom.
The Prom. You're a triple threat.
Yeah, triple
and
threat.
Herald teams you've been on in the past?
Trucks.
Yeah.
I've been on Hornado.
Okay.
Right. I've been on Penthouse Riot, Standard Oil.
Right.
Airwolf.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever been on Family?
I've never been on Family. I have friends on Family, but I've never been on Family.
Okay. Would you be willing to give us a list of people who are on Family?
Currently?
Or else yourself be subjected to the current witch hunt against Family? There is no witch hunt. We're doing a communist.
I think I can rattle off a couple of people from Family.
Yeah. They're great. They're a great mod team. I don't know why we're making fun of them.
I'm not making fun of them.
I was.
Yeah, they're great.
They've been brought up on every UCB podcast but one since we relaunched, and I want to make sure that that
keeps
continues.
Going. Yes. What episode are we on? That's something you usually do.
It seems
I told somebody asked me. Somebody told me that that's one of their favorite parts of the podcast, and I said I wasn't
was
going to do
Hammerberg?
That anymore. It might have been.
Yeah.
Yes, it was Karen Hammerberg.
Yeah.
And I told her that I wasn't going to do it anymore. But now we're on episode 4, I believe. Episode
you did it.
4. Of
Everybody.
The
is also starting the podcast drinking game. So anytime Family comes up, they have to take a drink.
Yeah, you get one drink per podcast. Yeah. It's good for people trying to drink moderately.
Yeah.
Because people listen to this podcast at parties, right? They sit around at
it gets blasted at bars all over New York City.
It does, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was at Down the Hatch on West 4th Street, and all these frat guys were like, play the podcast!
That's funny, because the same thing happened to me at Senor Frog's.
Jake's Dilemma up on Amsterdam Avenue. They can't stop playing this thing. The
Thunder Jackson's
on loop.
Thunder Jackson's, that's all I can
hear. Yeah, big shout out to everybody at Off the Wagon and
Whiskey
the 13th
Brooklyn,
step.
This one goes out to you. Alligator Lounge, get your free pizza.
Cafe
Start
Walk.
Talking about second beats.
Yep. Rudy's, get your free hot dogs.
Tuxedo Junction in Danbury, Connecticut. What's up with my boys? Led Zeppelin cover bands, unite. All right.
The Rusty Nail in Union, New Jersey.
There's a Rusty Nail in Ridgefield, Connecticut. That's weird. I guess that makes sense. It's not that weird.
Everybody's fast forward through this portion of the podcast.
No one's listening to any of this.
No.
They're like, I stopped listening to that. I unsubscribed at this point.
Okay.
All right, so Achilles, but here's one thing I like about you in terms of improv nerdery. You are a for real improv nerd.
Yes,
like, I think
that's
people
true.
Maybe don't even appreciate to the scope to which you are.
I am, yeah.
You you took classes from everybody when you were taking classes multiple times. You took a million workshops. You went to Herald Night a staggeringly consistent amount of time for a long time.
Yeah. I might be quote unquote famous for standing in ASCAT line forever. When we were doing that improv wiki thing, when that was a big thing.
Yeah, that still exists, right?
Yeah, it still exists. There's
wiki.improvresourcecenter.com.
Yes. The one that Kevin Mulaney created.
Yeah. Kevin Mulaney created it, and there was like Gethard was editing a bunch of pages.
Yeah, Gethard went through and added his opinion to all these teams.
And
Gethard's paragraphs stand out. Like most of it's very dry. It's like, oh, Police Chief Rumble was this kind of team, blah, blah, blah. Then it's like, these guys were known to be insane and doing terrible improv, but like were hilarious as individuals. It's like,
And I think his entry for my Herald Wiki page was like, He, you know, very dedicated, stood in line, was often the first in line for ASCAT, and at the beginning was maybe thought to be insane.
Sounds like a Catholic thing.
Yeah.
But yeah,
you also always sat the same night at Herald Night, front row left.
Yeah.
And I think when you just stopped going, you passed it on to Brendan McMullen.
Brendan McMullen, yeah. Wow, and there's a painting that Chelsea Clark did of me.
Your
sitting.
Lady.
Yeah, sitting in, if you know, people are friends with me on Facebook, they can look that up.
It's a beautiful painting.
It's
the theater empty and just Achilles only sitting in his seat. It's really, yeah. I'm moved by it.
Yeah.
Makes me cry.
Here's your entry on the wiki.improvresourcecenter.com, and I'm going to read the part that's obviously just written by Gethard.
Yes.
No one has ever worked harder in the NYC improv scene than Achilles. For roughly 3 years, he was the first person in line every single week at both Herald Night and ASCAT. He was known to sprint to his favorite front row seat before New Team Herald each week, where he would stay until the final Herald was done. This dedication impressed everyone who came to know the legend of Achilles, although it's fair to say there were also early concern over whether or not he was insane. When he gave up this trend, he officially passed, quote, his seat to Brendan McMullen.
Yes. Thank you, Gethard.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Now, look, I know we've already established that we don't give a shit about your personal
life. We don't give a shit about any
life.
Of this. Okay, all this stuff is not important.
Yes, but what do you think you got at? What drove you to do that?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. What's your fucking problem?
Well, I think it wasn't even a love of improv, although, you know, I love improv. It was more just like a certain OCD quality.
OCD? Our podcast intern has a lot of OCD.
Yeah.
I do a lot of that stuff he does.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
You have obsessiveness.
Like one week I had to sit on the other side of the pole for Herald Night, and it really frustrated me the entire night. I was like, I can't enjoy the Herald. but yeah, it was like I need to sit in this seat. I need to be first in line. And then also, like, there was kind of a little bit of a at least for ASCAT, there was a little bit of a competitive thing going on with, like, other people who wanted to get online first. So, like, there was, like, usually a group, and I think Mike Scollins was one of them, and a couple of his friends from his college. Like, one guy would get there, and then, you know, 15 other people would show up.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get ahead of that.
Yeah.
Eventually just get earlier and earlier and earlier.
Is that OCD-ness something that has permeated other areas of your life?
Not that we care.
But.
Probably.
And also, do you think that that drives you to be as good as you are as a improviser and writer and everything? Do you think that? How much of an influence do you think that has?
I do. I do think I don't consider myself like a perfectionist, but I do consider myself like somebody who's like really into the details of things. Like, mm-hmm. Maybe this will reflect outside of improv, like my OCD nature. I don't consider myself OCD.
Right.
I just have. Yeah. Maybe I'm in
for the duration of
OCD
this podcast, though, and for the sake of humor.
Right.
You're going to be called OCD.
Okay, we're willing to make light of this very serious condition.
Some people, it's a real serious and depression-causing thing.
Not here.
It's a lighthearted topic that we're going to unfairly endow onto Achilles.
Okay.
There's a fridge near me that I'm just opening the door constantly. but I love, like, baseball stats. And,
oh,
like,
me too.
Just looking at statistics.
Yeah.
Like I'm in a fake baseball league with a bunch of UCB people where it's literally just, like, numbers.
Yeah.
Is Salgin accumulating. No, he's not.
People who love baseball stats, I think, that is a type of improviser. I'm not saying you have to like them to like improv. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a common overlap. And it's usually like kind of a deadpan, non-acting, walk-on.
Why? Why is that an overlap? Or how?
I don't know what it is. It's like somehow the nice, discrete organizing of numbers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like to separate something which is one continuous flow, like a sports game, into little discrete categories is satisfying to a left-brain person.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch comedy and you try to do the same thing. You're like,
sure.
That's how many walk-ons have happened. That's how many justifications have happened. That's how many, you know, game moves have happened. Like,
yeah.
Probably. I mean, I started to think about how to quantify an improv scene. Or
sure.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of improv, the way it's affected, like, the way I play and the way I teach, I kind of have, like, a little bit more of, like, I'm looking for more of, like, kind of a macro or bird's eye view level of shows. So,
mm-hmm.
So it's not just, like, what's funny about this one scene? What's funny about this other scene? What's funny about this other scene? But, like, what's kind of, like, the threads that are connecting them? Or
yeah.
What's, like, I always loved shows that had some sort of thematic thing set up right away and explored right away. So that's always cool to me, and that's always something that I'm kind of looking for.
Yeah, right. I agree. I think that's part of why I love the Evente so much.
Yes.
That we do, you know, because it's that. It's like a thematic kind of show and things arc and come back. And
yeah, the threads are built into the form
already,
which is very satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can we just stop talking about Achilles?
Jesus. Sorry, I don't know how I we pulled me in with your dumb charm.
So
15 minutes on Achilles.
Let's jump right. Well, we're going to segue from Achilles into improv theory.
Right.
Achilles, what is something that, I mean, you I think spent a long time before you were appreciated as an improviser. It took a while before you like got on a Herald team and like I think went from being just like a well-liked student to someone who was a respected performer. I mean, I think that's true.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So like what is something that you had to do to like get good? What was like a breakthrough moment that made a jump for you?
In classes or like on stage or
just some moment when you think like, when did I get good? When did I start getting good? What did I have to do? Like a breakthrough moment, classes or stage?
To me, it was not wanting to get on a Herald team or wanting to get on a Herald team, not getting on one, and then just being satisfied that that was okay. Not kind of putting added outside pressure on myself. I mean, this isn't like a very performative reason,
right,
but
it's
I
more
think
like
it's more of a
philosophical
attitude, more like a zen
but I think,
kind of
I think,
letting it go.
Yeah, I think that like you can, you know, apply that to other things. Like if you're like, oh, I'm not going to worry about, you know, this outside thing that I can't control in my improv, I felt like that frees you up to do stuff that's more fun, that's more bold, and you end up actually challenging yourself a little bit more because you don't, you know, end up just kind of pigeonholing yourself into like, this is what I do really well, I'm only going to do that. You're like, oh, I can actually start doing stuff that, you know, maybe I'm not comfortable doing, but I was afraid to do.
Gotcha.
Before.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You guys are on a team together, right?
Yeah, we are.
And you guys were on Trucks together?
We were.
You guys probably know each other pretty well.
I think so.
John, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Go ahead.
What are some things Achilles is good at?
Well,
he's good at a lot of things, but like, what are the like, things that he in particular brings to a group?
I'm slipping John a list.
What's his...
it's a very well-written list. Very
like, if he's Fellowship of the Ring, what weapon does he have? Does he bring a bow and arrow, or does he bring... What does he bring? Not the metaphor. Like, what's the improv thing he brings?
Well, Achilles is a great straight character. He plays very like he's great at pointing.
So let's
out
start
the
with that. Achilles,
things.
What's the idea? You run a really good workshop on this, being a good straight man. So what's your advice on being a good straight man? What's so important about that? How do you do it right? I'm pretty good at this too, so I will argue you.
I think the most important thing is you want to acknowledge that the unusual behavior is happening, and then you want to honor it in a way so that you're not talking the person out of doing that funny thing that they're doing. You want to continue reacting honestly, but make moves that continue having them behave in the real,
keep it moving,
in an unusual way. Yeah,
that don't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do if it's like just super crazy and dumb?
Like the
let's you took a million classes. Let's say you're in class with someone, you get up and do a scene and they're just not good and you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be good. Like this teacher doesn't necessarily like you yet, and maybe you're in your head about yourself and you came to class, you want to have a good scene, like you need it. And you step out and this idiot comes out with you and you feel bad about even thinking that.
Right. And it's gonna happen. And I wanna talk a little bit more about this once Achilles answers. But
and maybe you even know you shouldn't think of it that way. You're like, I shouldn't think of that, I should value everything, but I just know it. This person's no good. They're gonna give me a load of crap. And they initiate something that is just like really broadly performed, and they're just like, oh my God.
And you can't even tell. Yeah.
Look at my cockroaches are talking to me. Mm-hmm. What do you say?
My instinct would be to just match that silliness, not to straight man it.
Sypha's fixing my microphone, which is amazing.
Hey, I'll do this. Yeah, okay. My instinct is not to call it out as an unusual thing, but to join it in a way that is accepting of whatever insane thing that person was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully from that agreement, there will be some way for me or the other person to like find some specific game in that, or just find some specific just like fun thing if everything seems broad and
I don't believe you.
Weird? No?
Yep. It sounds insane.
I would agree with that. No. I think I was just saying this to a class yesterday. I feel like I think I say this at least once per class that I teach. Like, you're going to be – this is a little side note tangent, but like you're going to be in a class with that kind of person. You know, that kind of like if you take enough classes, you're going to be in a class with the crazy person. That,
enough
like,
classes? Almost every class.
Yeah. Well, I've had classes that that person doesn't exist in.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I think it's more common than it is not common.
No, I agree, but it's not in in my experience, it isn't in every class. But I've had I've taught classes with that person and been in classes with that person. The kind of person where they step off the back line and like everybody just kind of looks at each other and prays that they don't have to be the one to step out.
Yeah.
And I always encourage people in my classes to be the person that steps out. With
yes.
That
yes, you do want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what is going to make you a better improviser. Is also, how to make that person look good.
It's a bad habit to think of people that way because sure. You'll start to think of more and more people that way and you'll be wrong. Like, you'll think that's of some people as being crazy or bad, and they're not as crazy or bad as you think, mm-hmm. and they're actually doing a lot of things that are good, but you don't see it yet because you're not good enough yet. Mm-hmm. Like, that'll happen. Or at least it's playable in a way that you don't appreciate.
Yeah.
So whatever is quote-unquote bad about them is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. There's enough to play, so you shouldn't even worry about it. That's it's a hard place to get to.
Yeah, yeah. I think the ultimate is, and I've been telling my classes this recently because of 3-on-3 is going on right now, and there's these wild card teams that are just randomly selected.
Sure.
I think the ultimate for an improviser is to be experienced enough where you can literally have somebody just walk in, never done improv before, never seen improv before, and do a show with them, and it turns out really well. To have like the skills to make that work.
To be accepting enough of somebody else's ideas or presence to just be able to say yes, or to, like you said, to ground something, to be able to ground something that they're saying in some kind of reality.
Yes.
Hmm.
Do you think? Do you not?
Do you disagree
that,
with that?
I do. No, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that.
I'll say another thing about Achilles. He, at the same time that he's a great straight character, he's also capable of making some of the goofiest and most hilarious moves. That
I love silly.
I mean, yeah. Airwolf is a pretty goofy team in general,
right.
You know. But when I think about Achilles, I think about him standing on chairs to simulate a very tall basketball player.
Oh yeah,
we had more this than one show. Just like, like playing giants and big characters, and like, you know, bending the space and things like that. I think Achilles has a good eye for like. Being able to play straight character when it's needed, but also knowing, well, like we've got this grounded enough for me to do something really silly and fun and funny.
Yes.
How do you handle it when you're in a bad place? You're going to do a show and you're just, or maybe you don't experience this Achilles. I don't know. Maybe you're a machine, but do you, you're just feeling lousy. You're not feeling confident. You had a bad show the time before, for whatever reason, you're about to do something and you just feel not great about it. What do you do to like try to optimize how you're going to perform in the show? How do you handle that? Mm-hmm. I throw it to you too, John.
Before the show?
Yeah. Like you walk, let's say you have a show and you get to the theater half an hour before and you're just feeling lousy. Like maybe you're grouchy, the people you see are, you're not, and you're starting to like be real self-conscious about everything you're saying and doing. Like, oh, am I going to bring this on stage?
Yeah.
What am I doing wrong right now that's going to stay with me? Or whatever.
I felt like that for so long. Yeah. I felt like that for most of Harold Night, to be honest with you. Like, being on a weekend team now, I look back on it and I'm like, oh, what was I so fucking worried about? But I was like, I felt shitty for most of Harold Night. And I can tell you, I don't know that I've ever told anybody this in public before, but I used to show up early to Harold Night and go to the chill out room in the back, a room that like, it's like this shitty back storage room in the theater that we don't even really use anymore.
It doesn't exist in our reality. You have to walk far enough back in the building that you've entered a different dimension.
Yeah. But I used to go back there with my iPod and just like dance by myself to try to get.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I used to go to that room.
That's great.
All by myself. And like just like to try to, I felt so self-conscious and I felt like everybody was watching me,
right?
And judging me, that I used to go there and just try to like put myself in a place where I didn't give a shit. And it didn't work.
It must have worked sometimes, or you wouldn't have kept doing
it. You're putting yourself, or you're putting yourself in a position to like at least feel a certain way before you're. Actually, I think a couple things. One is. I think you can like talk to your teammates. I think having a conversation with your teammates like helps, like a loose conversation, not like any intense conversations. Like before the show, I feel like that really helps because then you're not thinking about what's going on in your head. You're kind of more focused on just having a conversation. The other thing too, I think, is in terms of like specifically doing stuff on stage, trying to give yourself one low pressure thing to do on stage,
okay,
and then doing that. So not necessarily. I don't feel like it should be like I'm gonna play game in this because I don't feel like that's.
It's too broad and too big.
Broad.
It's too. You're putting too much of an expectation.
Yeah,
on
and I feel like even something like I'm gonna have fun on stage is too broad, but something that's like you know, I'm gonna initiate two scenes, or I'm gonna you know, I'm gonna tag in a lot, or I'm gonna be gonna walk on a lot no matter what. I think that like puts you out of your head because you're more focused on that specific goal rather than a bunch of different things that could potentially happen.
Yeah, reachable goals are important.
And if you don't achieve that goal, it's okay. Like, if you say, like, I'm going to initiate two scenes and it doesn't happen, like, it's okay. I think one thing, it's tough to, you know, I recognize that I'm saying this from, like, a place where I now have perspective on it, but, like, one thing that I realized is, like, it does, all the things that I was so worried about and concerned about and upset about do not fucking matter one bit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, what we do is not a big deal. And we shouldn't be beating ourselves up over it or putting that much
pressure.
Can
I cite an example from an Airwolf show?
Absolutely.
After an Airwolf show?
Sure.
So we had a Airwolf show. This was maybe a few months ago. And it it wasn't a great show. It was fine. It was fun. It's always a fun show. And then, you know, in the green room afterwards, we were all kind of like beating ourselves up about the show. We're like, oh, we should have done this. We should have had like... clear games, you gotta, you know, be a little bit more patient, kind of like going through the, kind of licking our wounds a little bit. And then we hear an audience member walking by, and she's just like, oh, they had weird voices. And then I was like, oh, okay, like, that's all they're, that's all they're
I don't think I was there
away,
for that.
That's all they're taking away from this.
Yeah.
So it's like, after that, it kind of like removed a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
What do you think, Will?
From which part? Which is the part you talked about?
Anything.
Maybe, like, what do you do before a show?
Oh, man, I'm a mess. Like, I feel very self-conscious about all my emotional shortcomings before every show. Because I get very grouchy and defensive. When I first did improv, I was worried about being boring, and I was worried about being too angry. I still worry about that. And so if I'm heading into a show, and I feel myself just being kind of grouchy and curmudgeonly, and generally... A lot of people kind of know me in this community, and they feel free to tell me what I look like. Like, I'll walk into the theater and be like, oh, you look, uh-oh. You look grouchy. Yeah. Or like, yeah, you look like you're thinking about something. And sometimes that'll start to make me feel more defensive, and I have to weirdly try to double think my way out of it or not think my way out of it intentionally. It's tough for me, actually, pre-show stuff.
Yeah.
I have to sit down and say hi, and if somebody say hi back, and then just have a moment of feeling normal. I have to have a moment of not being defensive. Like, I feel like I'm letting the wall down.
Right.
And I can't ever say no to somebody's invitation to warm up, even if I don't want to warm up, because I feel like it's a bad mojo to say no before a show. So even if somebody wants to do, like, a rhyming warm-up, which I detest, I'll do it. I'll try to do it and enjoy it. They can be very successful. There's nothing wrong with those warm-ups. I just, for some reason, always feel uncomfortable with them.
Yeah, me too.
But I feel like it's just the worst mojo to say, no, I won't do that. I've done this, but most of the time I try to like say yes. Or I just feel guilty. I don't think anybody even would notice. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And if I get like one instance of feeling like I said yes or did something emotionally brave in a really small way, I start to feel better.
Yeah.
That's what I do. My brother, before we did a Brothers Hind show a couple weeks ago, came up to me and he said, be playful tonight. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, that's my instruction to you. I want you to be playful. I said, okay, and I had a fun show.
That's interesting.
Be playful.
I don't think we would ever do that on Airwolf.
Like,
I think
less
it's a different. It's a different dynamic between you and your brother.
We're trying to counteract our normal sort of sit down and talk and analyze a transaction scene for 40 minutes.
And I think we can't help but bring ourselves into our improv and into like our pre-show rituals. You know, I think. At the same time that I'm saying, like, wow, I'm a lot more relaxed going into an improv show than I used to be, I'm also a lot more relaxed as a person than I was a few years ago and, like, through most of the time that I was on Harold Knight. You know, I think it's – I think you will approach your art and your performance with whatever kind of baggage or lack of baggage you're carrying around in your life. You know, I don't think that's escapable.
I agree. I have a new question.
Go ahead.
Achilles.
Yes.
What's your strategy for initiating off a pattern game?
Oh, here we go.
You do a pattern game. You got to initiate. What do you like to do?
What I like to do is take something that was explicitly mentioned, explored in the pattern game, not go, as Besser would say, one step beyond, I think would be his term, and go kind of like nail on the head, which is also a Besser term. Try to say something that's specifically from the pattern game and try to get that premise across as, you know, explicitly as clearly as possible. That's what I would try to do.
Really?
Yeah. And I would try to embed my idea in my initiation. So if it's like, if the idea is like, let's say rookie doctor, uh-huh, I would try to fit that into the initiation somehow.
And I'm going to do a short pattern game just with myself. You okay. And I are going to do one, and then you're going to initiate off.
Okay.
Sure. All three of us are going to do
okay.
one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're going to do, and I'll call it.
Okay.
Very early.
Okay.
And then you have to initiate off of it.
Okay.
Whatever you got.
Okay. We're wading into very loaded territory here. I'm very pleased about this.
Yeah. This is doomed for failure. But this is, it's not really a matter of how funny or great your initiation is. I'm just trying to illuminate a process.
The idea of talking about the pattern game. You and I have talked about this off
mic. We joke about this being the absolute high watermark of an insidey improv podcast.
Well, no, but also I think there's a sort of the way that the pattern game is taught and performed is a huge.
We're gonna have a whole thing on the pattern game because everybody teaches it differently.
Everybody teaches different. Yeah. Everybody,
and everybody
performs
has
it
their own opinions about it, and everyone is just like it's a real.
Yeah, I see it
part of the experience of being an improviser at UCB, certainly.
I see it performed at Harold Knight and Lloyd Knight, and more often than not, I'm infuriated by what I'm watching, either in
well,
the pattern game or
that's,
in the...
That's not helping anybody.
I don't say that I'm infuriated by it, and even though I just said
have
it to 1,200
sympathy.
People.
Like, it's been true the whole time we've been here. We've been here since 1971.
Right, yeah.
That of the pattern game. So that, but without getting into that whole barrel of monkeys,
sure,
we're just going to...
Sure.
I'm more just curious about what initiations you like to do, Achilles.
Okay.
So we're just going to do...
Okay.
This is the most nerdy moment we've yet had since John Lutz discussed his theoretical difference between tag-ons and tag-outs and walk-ons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're now surpassing that.
This is a new low.
Yeah. Sypha, give us a suggestion.
Animation.
All right, animation.
Animation.
Pixar.
Disney.
Cartoons.
Worst impression.
That guy in your office who does offensive impressions.
Here's President Bush talking to Sinbad.
Here's you going on a date with me.
here's my dick going up your
ow. Faux pas.
Embarrassing mistakes.
Family get-togethers.
Body odor.
Inability to take care of yourself.
Hair bands.
Dockin.
Multicolored scarves.
Just cocaine everywhere.
Like effeminate accessories is what I mean.
All right, guys, we're about to go on tour. Let's start loading up on lipstick.
Okay, animation.
Okay.
What do you got, Achilles? So you kind of said two initiations in the pattern game. Would you use those?
Potentially, yeah. I might say, all right, Dokken, we're about to go on tour. Here's your scarves or something like that. Mm-hmm. So like something really specific from the pattern game or even like a line of dialogue.
Okay, what's the second one you would do?
What was the first one we did?
We talked about embarrassing or...
impressions at the office.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, again, I would use a line of dialogue like right. the ones that we said or even...
So you're listening for ideas. You're mm-hmm. listening for premises.
Yes.
You're like, what is a game I can start with or a proposed game?
Same thing. Like I might initiate a scene where either a boss is scolding an employee for just doing his impressions all day at work. Or I might try to be that. I might like... start a scene in an office where, you know, it's like, I called you in here just to give me an assessment of my impressions.
Yeah.
you know, or my like terrible 80s jokes.
Yeah, I'm more inclined to be like the other person, to like to be the straight man, to be somebody who's like, hey, George, we're getting some complaints about the impressions that you do around the office.
I like to do that too, because it gives... It's a very clear way of initiating the game that I want to play, is to give the unusual thing to my scene partner rather than say initiating with the unusual thing and hoping that they respond in the way that I am, and, you know, hoping they will.
Yeah, that's my favorite way to...
Do you have any other ways
to initiate from a pattern game?
Do you have any other strategies you might do?
Giving the gift is the number one to me.
So what's that one?
So like the way that John just... said, so like being the boss and then making your scene partner the unusual character.
Like, I have an idea for a premise. I will initiate by giving the unusual part to my scene partner rather than initiating as if I'm the unusual character. And that's, I'm looking for the same thing in pattern games or any opening, whether it's an interview or anything. I'm looking for a premise. I'm looking to initiate with a premise. Like, as Besser says, we don't do a pattern game to generate 70 new words.
Yeah.
You know, we do it to generate 4 or 5 solid premises.
Yeah, at the risk of getting too deep into the pattern game, I'm looking for ideas in the rooms instead of the hallways. So in the hallways, you're just saying words, and that doesn't get you any comedic ideas. But when you're getting ideas from the rooms, there's something more meaty there.
Okay, I want to see what happens if we put you... Siv, is this the most boring podcast we possibly could do?
No, I love it.
Oh, I'm going to challenge. I take that as a challenge. Let me see if I can get it too boring even for you to be interested in this. Here you go. Ready? Do you mind if I do this?
Go ahead.
Now, this is this is kind of weird, but this is more to see what you do when things don't go your way.
Sure.
So we're going to do another much shorter sample of a pattern game. Okay. We're only allowed to say one word each.
All right. I feel like I'm warmed up a little bit more now.
Only one word each. And my goal here is that we're really not going to be able to pitch any full premises in it. We'll maybe be able to hint at some, and then I want to see what you initiate with.
Okay.
Okay.
We will not, I'm not looking, don't try to beat this. Like, just have it be one word terms where we just kind of like thematically paint
it. Because there's some things that I want to say about this, but I'm going to reserve them to see how this goes first.
Okay.
Okay. So give us a suggestion, Sypha.
You want to be in this, Sypha?
No. philanthropic.
Good heavens.
Philanthropic.
One word only.
Okay. Wealth.
Taxes.
Perpetual.
Cheating.
Corruption.
Politics.
Back rooms.
Bribes.
Murder.
Organized crime.
Detachment.
The Navy.
Hazing.
Plunger.
Ice cube.
Lipstick.
Socialite.
Champagne.
Cheap.
Philanthropic.
All right, Achilles, you gotta go. philanthropic off of cheap. So now you have to do one.
Knives.
So I feel like that's a really hard pattern to initiate off of. So I'm deliberately putting you in a tough spot, but I want to see how you handle it when you're in a tough spot. What do you do? You can't table talk. Let me just hear your initiation.
Okay.
Then you can table talk after. Table talk, like you can't do your commentary track first. Let me just hear what you do, and then you're allowed to say why.
So I might say, Reginald, quite a party you're throwing. Something like that.
Okay, and I'll say, thank you so much. It's wonderful to have you here.
Now you want me to respond to that?
Yeah.
What year is this champagne? It's lovely.
This year. Okay. What's your thought with that, Achilles?
Can I say something that I might initiate?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I would initiate from that. Shit, I just had it. I'm a little concerned about how unaffected you are by all of the murders you commit.
I see. Well, it might not surprise you, but I don't care.
Doesn't surprise me at all. That's why I'm bringing you in here.
Okay. All right. So, Achilles, what's your thought about this? What are you trying to do?
It definitely is harder. In terms of what I'm thinking. I'm trying to think of like what seemed funny, like what seemed specific in the pattern game, or what at least at the very least seemed to be like a thematic thing that was touched on. So like there was like so philanthropic was the suggestion. Right? So there was like crime, there was like wealth and politics. So like kind of like more broad strokes, and then from there trying to initiate from those kind of larger ideas.
When you do a one word pattern game, you're to me, what I'm listening for, what I'm looking for is you're as a team, you're building ideas, you're building premises one word at a time. And that's why like you don't just say the first word that comes to mind. Like when we started talking about like corruption and everything, in my mind, we were building an idea. We were building a world, right? Like it's almost like we're
scene painting.
Yeah, we're painting a tableau together. Yeah. You know, and so like even if you're doing
so, there's kind of a tacit agreement among us that we're not going to jump too far until we've kind of completed one thing.
Yes. Hopefully, the agreement.
We're not going to A to C too much.
Right. Hopefully, the agreement is that when you start talking about corruption and back rooms and things like that,
that stay on that a little.
You're
bit.
Looking for what's funny about that. Yeah. You're looking like it's the same. If this is true, then what else is true applies in that situation.
So you heard
like,
me say detachment.
That's right.
And you're trying to use somebody else's idea.
Yeah.
For your initiation. You're like, okay, detachment. Build an initiation around detachment within a world of corruption.
Right. Like we're trying to explore like what as a group, what do we think is funny about corruption? What do we think is funny about
now,
this
Achilles? You started smaller, I think. You were kind of you were just doing who, what, where, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, a little bit more, just not with a comedic idea, but just starting with an element from the pattern game. Can I mention one note I would give? If this were a class I would teach
on
the pattern game, for any A to B or A to C one term things, I would say I always say to my students, you should give it some sort of attitude, energy, character, emotion. You don't think so?
Because I just can't do it.
Because I think that does one. It helps you remember stuff.
Makes
easier,
it easier,
and it also. There's a lot.
How
of
How good
ideas
you remember in the pattern game? What do you remember the first couple terms of the first pattern game we did? Off of animation?
Animation, you said Pixar, I said Disney.
Said
you said cartoons.
That's right.
I said worst impression.
Worst impression. Oh,
then
we
got
into
the office
stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about you? We haven't talked at all about what you would initiate or what your thoughts on
any of this I'm fascinated with and also bad at pattern game. And mm-hmm. I felt worse at initiations the last years than I felt the whole time I've been doing this. But,
really?
Yeah. I talk with Kevin about it a lot. I perform with my brother Kevin, and I think he's really strong at initiations. I mm-hmm. admire him for that. And that's all.
that's all you admire.
That's it, yeah. But I guess off that second one, if it's a not great opening where there's not a ton of low-hanging fruit ideas, I mean, your initiation was great, John. I could play off it, both of them. I would just give – my priority would sink, and I'm going to be like – I just want to connect. I want just something clear
mm-hmm.
where you feel like you knew what I was trying to do. Okay, so what am I trying to say here? I wouldn't have a premise, so I would just be like, I'm going to say something so that John or Achilles, whoever steps out with me, kind of gets the idea that, okay, I'm not giving you a premise, but I'm giving you a who, what, where. We're just going to start from that.
Right.
Like off that one, I probably would say something. I would go like fun and simple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or that would be my intention. What was the most fun single term? Corruption would be the most fun. So I think I would start with, I'd be like, you know, it's like, all right, here's $10,000. I expect that my apartment complex will be improved. I do a lot of civics.
Right.
A lot of civics initiations. But some kind of bribe situation. It would be like, yeah, here's $10,000, right? FBI is never gonna know I gave this to you.
Oh, cool, $10,000.
Yeah, but I don't have a premise in my idea. I'm just trying to get like a tone going. I like starting with a premise, but out of there, it's like any premise I see, I don't think you're going to have seen.
Right.
But you're going to remember the whole corruption bribe stuff, and I just want you to know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I want that satisfied feeling of like, I know what you mean.
But would you say that here's $10,000 I expect my apartment will be taken care of is a premise?
Yeah, it is. It is half of an idea.
I think it feels like a premise.
But
feels
it's kind of like in a rich, interesting situation, or what? Yeah. What I hope is. It might
sure.
Not.
Yeah, and I think that is what you know.
Do you not really admire about people who I'm just jumping around? I feel like you guys are sort of cerebral, left brain talkie talks, and I feel like I'm that way. I admire people who can. I feel like Atamanik is this kind of person. Abra we had on last week is this kind of person. Someone who can like start with a character or energy that feels funny right away.
Yeah.
Before you've really defined it. Mm. They're good enough to like make it into a premise later.
Yeah.
But they don't start there. I feel like I've seen Ratliff on The Stepfathers, and Delaney will do this. I mean, everybody good does this, but like they'll start with something that just feels silly.
Yeah.
But also like a whole person, like something kind of like
yeah. So you're talking about naturals, people who are natural.
Like Curtis Gwynn, you would start Curtis Gwynn, who was you know on Ruru for years and was a had a nice, hilariously Monkey psychopathic dip. Energy around him. Yeah, in a funny way. I feel like it'd start with hey, come here. I got 2 tickets to The Cult.
Yeah,
and like that doesn't say anything. You don't know who he is or what's going on.
I could never do that.
But like the urgency in his voice and the desperation would already start to paint a kind of fun scenario. And you're engaged in it, and you kind of want to turn the page and know what else is happening.
Yeah.
I'm super jealous of that. Achilles?
Me too.
How do I do that?
You don't. It's impossible. The thing that I always think of is, like, there are – because there are going to be people who are like, oh, yes, that person is instantly funny. Like the Joe Torre, who used to manage the Yankees.
Great improviser.
Great improviser. taught here for a long time.
Yeah, that's right.
Before he managed the Yankees.
He was on the Catfish Hunters in 1977. They won in a long cage match run against the Alan Aldis.
Yeah. But he was describing one time, like there are players who are Derek Jeters and there are players who are Bernie Williamses. So Derek Jeter is like natural, charismatic, extremely talented, has kind of like everything, has everything. And then you have Bernie Williams, who's also a great player, but has to constantly work for things to come to them. Okay. I feel like I'm that type of improviser. And I feel like there are improvisers who are like that, who need to just start with something instead of with their own energy, with their own charisma, with their, you know, own character. I don't think it's a learnable thing. I think it's
not
like,
true.
You don't think so?
I disagree with that.
I mean, it's you can't learn to be a natural by definition.
But people can increase
their fun and their charisma.
That's true.
And their kind
that's
energy.
True. I will say, I don't know if I'm successful at this, but I will try to do. My first instinct is to try to like piece together, to try to talky talk a premise or an idea or something like that. But I will try to initiate with some kind of emotional choice or energy if I feel like I haven't done that at all in the show, or there hasn't been a lot of that in the show, or if it's needed in a scene.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know how much it works, but I think that instinct to like, well, I'm just going to go out and make some kind of emotional choice or character choice or like try to embody some kind of tone, I think is like, I think you can do that.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
I'm going to give you an impossible task.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to give you a one-word suggestion, and I want you to initiate with a full premise off of it.
A one-word suggestion, and I initiate with a full...
You can
I don't
take
know,
your time.
You're putting me on the spot here.
I think this is called pulling a Wengert.
Yeah, you have to pull a Joe Wengert.
As good as him. I think I've become...
Give it a shot. Like, if you can't do it, then you can degrade down into just a who, what, where.
Yeah. I think by watching those people and, like, doing, like, Torco shows and when I did...
You don't have to be awesome
briefly,
at it. It's on the table. I'm putting you in the spot. I'm asking you to do something. I'm telling you to go to half court and take a shot.
Okay.
If you don't hit it, it's no loss of honor.
That's fine. Okay,
just take a good shot.
Okay.
All right, you can give me something impossible to do if you want after.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So fun. All right, your suggestion is... Sypha, give him a suggestion. I'm sorry, I put you on the spot, too.
You're putting everybody on the spot. Here.
It's power play.
Pillsbury.
Oof, impossible.
Pillsbury.
I have a premise.
Oh, shit, girl.
Well, there's only one donut left, but I guess you could have it if you want it.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Off at nothing. We could play that. That was very Nate Smith energy, I feel like. All right. Achilles, I'm going to give you an impossible one. I'm going to give you a different challenge.
All right.
One word suggestion. You have to channel, like, start instantly likable and charismatic.
Okay.
Like, I mean, you're going for that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, some kind of energetic, provocative beginning that's fun.
Okay.
Off of one word, premise or not, it doesn't matter. You might have one that you wish to. You can.
Okay. Sure. Sure.
All right. Sypha.
Oh, androgynous.
Hey. Well, let me see that vagina.
All right. Let me just paint that. That's good. That was good.
Okay. I don't know if that was successful, but
that was a valid attempt at the very least, and maybe successful.
Good.
Let me paint the picture a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Cage match.
Uh-huh.
Audience is going crazy. Halfway through a show, the show is killing it because you guys went on a big cage match run where you had shows like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Energy's great. Like you can like do no wrong. The whole team. And I want you just to step out and start with something fun to, like, milk it, to, like, enjoy it more, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that kind of fearlessness.
Oh, okay.
But off a suggestion. So I'll give you another one.
Astrology.
Oh, give me these stars.
Excuse me? Excuse me, sir?
Give me the stars.
I can't give you the stars. They're in the sky.
Well,
okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty good. I can see that. You adopt this kind of, like, frantic urgency. Mm-hmm. Right,
if I were just going off nothing, I'd probably do something physical and silly, like, you know, embodying some sort of character, like standing on a chair, which I felt like was earned.
I feel like it's always earned.
Or doing something like silly and weird because the audience is on our side at that point. But yeah, I see where what that task is. Trying to make me do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think from a student's perspective, like with the things they watch happen and what seems kind of tough to do.
You didn't ask this question, but I'm just thinking about like how I got to my initiation from
Pillsbury.
No, it's okay. I think like I'm trying to initiate with something that is funny and that's something that like is interesting right away. And I think it's easy for me to go sort of low status. It's easy for me to like, I'm just thinking, what do I think is funny, really? In that moment, I'm just thinking, like, what do I think is funny? I think it's funny. I think losers are funny. I think low-status people are funny. I think passive-aggressive losers who are, like, making the people around them uncomfortable is funny, you know?
I tend to think a little bit more of ideas, like you were saying before, so less gravitating towards characters or emotion, but like, oh, what about that? Like, what about that is funny to me? And then I might approach it a little bit more like a sketch premise or something.
Yeah.
That's
what I think is important. That's what I think is important. And like, you can tell me whether you disagree or not. And I think that's the heart of what we're getting to, is this idea that it's like, it's what you think is funny. You know, it's what you think is funny. Like that's what all we're trying to do here is get in touch with like what and be able to communicate what we think is funny, you know. In terms of like what's the hard and fast rule to initiate or to make moves, it's like, well, based on everything of what we know, like what do we think is funny about this, you know. And I think that's like. I've been thinking a lot about this week. I just started teaching a 201, and it's not like this. And this might take us off
I know
topic
that class.
A little bit.
I subbed the first.
Oh yeah, you did my first class. Yes. So I don't think it's like we don't, and we've talked about this, but we don't teach people how to be funny. Thank God, because I don't know how to teach anybody to be funny.
Right.
Like especially in like a 201, what we're teaching is like. Forget about how to be funny for a minute and learn how to be real. Learn how to be like a real human being. Learn how to like perform a scene, you know? Learn how to like approximate reality in an improv situation. And then once you do that, then you start bringing in, okay, well, what do I think is funny in this situation?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not like, let's be funny as fast as possible. It's let's be real as soon as possible. And then start looking for the things that we think are funny.
Yeah.
And tempering what we think is funny against the, like, techniques that we teach.
Yeah, here. supporting your scene partner.
Yeah.
Listening.
Not just like, well, I think it would be funny if, like, a refrigerator fell on my scene partner right now. You know, well, that's not anywhere in this scene.
I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, do that. I was trying to think of it. You seem like you want to say something.
You're right. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. Like, I think that is the most important thing to learn. But sometimes it's like students who are not playing it real and they're just trying to be funny. And then we kind of say like, no, you got to play it real. You got to play it real. Like, I agree with that point of view. But I'm sympathetic. Like, the goal is to be funny.
Sure.
Ultimately, we want to make funny scenes. And somebody's instinct, it's like we tell them not to be funny for a long time. And then we're like, put in what you think is funny. But they've killed their instinct of what's funny. I'm overstating it a little bit. How do you, like, you need to let people, or I'm not sure. I want a way, when I'm teaching that, like, the 201s and 301s, how do you encourage people to play mostly real but still take an attempt at what you think is funny?
Right.
Like, you can't
– yeah.
It's your teach. The shape of the scene is wrong if there's not some part that's trying to be funny.
Sure.
So even if it's like, that's too silly a thing, or that's too unrealistic, or too dumb, but that's at the right time, and that's the kind of right, you know.
But what I'm getting at is when people kick the legs out from under scenes to try to be funny. When people feel like that, those alarm bells going off in their head of like, it's been 30 seconds and no one's laughing.
Yeah.
It's like the idea is like, well, I want to play Mozart. Okay, well, you know, let's teach you how to play piano. And you don't sit at a piano and try to bang out Mozart. You play scales and you work your way up to it. And then you know how to play Mozart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I have, like, a good improv class. This is not meant to argue anything you're saying.
I know.
That's why my face
I feel
is
offended,
confused.
But I'll take it anyway.
A good improv class should be a combination of scales and, like, playing melodies. Like, this is a scale. Mm-hmm. Do not try to play a melody. You're playing a scale. Hit the scale 10 times.
Sure.
We're also bad at that. We need more reps.
Yeah.
But we, teachers. But then you need to do a part where it's like, okay, try to play a melody.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to be great. You're not Mozart yet. But you need to you need to activate the part of your brain that knows what a melody is.
Yeah.
So just play a melody. Even if it's just like, da 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 da, whatever the comedic equivalent
is. Sure, melody.
I think this is the other point that I was trying to make based on what you said of like the shapes of scenes.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think that what will happen is if you focus on playing the scene real and listening to your scene partner with what you think is funny in the back of your head, you can't help in a long-form improv scene finding that first unusual thing and playing that. And I think that's where the shape and the comedy of the scene comes in. If you go into a scene thinking, like, I'm going to be funny as fast as possible, then you're just going to trip and fall all over yourself. But if you're like, I'm just going to listen, I'm going to be affected, I'm going to play the reality of this scene, then something is going to – you're going to have that, wait a minute, what did you just say kind of moment, you know?
I guess I think there's no better – there's no more convincing argument than an audience laughing in terms of making you remember something. Like, students can agree intellectually with whatever you say. Get out on stage. If the audience isn't laughing, you're going to eventually do whatever it takes to get them to – I've certainly sunk low in this regard.
Yeah.
But, like, you have to – you have to prove that what you're selling works in a practical way. Besser is good at this, I think. Like, okay, playing it real is the way to do it. Prove to me, John Frusciante, I would in my head as a student, or Achilles, when does that turn into a scene where I get laughs?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm putting it a little bit shallow, but like that's what's going to convince me. Like, what convinced me to commit more a million years ago, I was in a practice group with Brett Gelman, who had a lot of acting experience, a lot of confidence. His level two he was in with me. And he just had more bravado walking around. And we did a practice group, and the suggestion – it was a scene about a fire alarm, and everyone was like students. And we were kind of tentatively saying like, oh, I think there might be a fire, or this, that, or the other. And Gelman entered a scene with like complete like kind of confident volume. It was like, fire alarm, oh my God, screaming. Gelman, it's not hard to imagine.
Yeah.
But it was so instantly funny that I was like, oh, right, you have to commit. That convinced me that commitment works because I saw it be funny.
Okay.
It's like, oh, it was instantly better. Now I know. I got to commit because I want to be able to do that.
Right.
I don't want to be – so playing it real sometimes delays the reward. It's kind of like be good now and you'll die and go to heaven and then it'll be fine.
I think the example –
wait, that's not true? Is that not true?
No, it's not true. I think the examples we often use as teachers are either scenes students have seen in shows or scenes students have seen in class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the that type of breakthrough really happens when you're in the scene. I feel like it, that's the most. I mean, the example you used, you were in the scene, but you weren't necessarily the person.
I was
who
there.
Did
I felt it,
it
though. Like, yeah, exactly. I was participating in the scene, and this other character made this move.
But yeah, I think people need to feel it working for them to kind of buy into it. Like, oh, okay, I get that. Yes, and works. I get that commitment. Works.
Yeah, they're not
going
to really believe you until they feel it. I think.
Yeah.
Even if their intention is to believe you, even if they're like dutifully like, okay, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right. They don't buy it.
Because even in the first class of 101, you might have a jokey person and like they'll get laughs because it's like, you know, that kind of nervous energy and also.
Yeah, they made a decision. Yeah, they said something specific. They did something with
that person's confident. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. They get a laugh.
They're just
getting
it the wrong way.
Yeah, but then you get it to a place where it's like, oh, okay, this is how you're building a scene with another person. You have to do these things now in order to get like these really and smart, earned laughs.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to give you a challenge,
oh
Will,
boy.
I think.
We're running out of time.
Okay.
But I won't be a coward.
Okay. All right, so you're going to get a one-word suggestion.
Jesus, why are we doing this? This is terrible. I made you guys do this?
Yeah, yeah. And I want you to initiate with the most animated, committed character.
Why are you doing this?
the most committed and animated.
What comment are you making about what's hard for me? And by the way, you're totally correct.
I'm not making a comment. I'm giving you a challenge.
All right. What was again? What are the adjectives you want?
The most animated and committed character you can. So give him
suggestion?
A one more.
Yeah. Purple hoodie.
Purple hoodie.
Yo, son. Get off my porch. Son, that's my porch. What are you doing? Yo, son, it's my porch.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was your porch.
It's my porch, son.
Is it his porch?
Sorry, I'm sorry. I just.
You can't take a man's porch.
No, I have mail for you.
You're going to sleep with my wife next?
No, absolutely not.
Put the mail down.
Okay.
Not on my porch.
I'm not on your porch.
Get off.
This is where your mailbox is.
Back down slowly.
I'm so sorry.
Back down
I'm
backwards.
I'm just going to put it here.
Back down backwards.
Backwards?
Backwards. Undo it. Undo your steps.
Okay, I can step backwards, but it's
reverse it.
Okay.
Yo, son, erase it from time.
I cannot do that.
Yo, get out of reality, son.
I don't think you know what time is.
Undo it.
You don't have anything on under
Yo,
that bathroom.
Rewind time.
Okay,
you insulted me.
Okay, I'm just
otherwise, we're
going
to have to have a duel.
I think your kitchen's on fire.
Doesn't matter. Not as important.
Right, so okay. That was great.
Yeah, that was great.
Typical stepfather scene.
Yeah. Are we out of time? Do we have to get out of here?
Yeah, we're getting. We should wrap it up.
Okay. All right. So, in closing, what's the secret to improv?
That's what people were listening for. It's like, oh, they're going to mention the secret.
I'll listen to this pattern game bullshit, but only because I know that I've heard they're going to do the secret of improv.
Right. Right.
Make you sure should title this podcast. Yeah. Title this episode: "The Secret to Improv Revealed."
The secret to improv is going to see Airwolf every Saturday at 10:30
at UCB Theater East. We take an audience member and interview them about
their worst living experience.
Some that we've had in the past are
Achilles. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you for having
me. Yeah, thanks Achilles for nerding
thank you
out
for
with us.
Not caring about my life.
Not at all.
And I still don't.
Cold.
By the way, it's an interesting life. You're from the Philippines, like you have an interesting life, and I don't want to hear anything about it.
Yeah, yeah. Like the sensible thing would have been to bring you in here and
talk about
unpack
that.
Your
okay,
passion.
Sure. There's some
life.
Serious background that led to you becoming a very emotionally brave person. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested.
We're out of time.
Yeah. We're out of time.
But, I mean, we can get another 15 minutes.
No,
Saito, we're done.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Thank you. We're finished here.
Yeah, it seems like
these guys whole intro.
No.
What's that?
We'll edit out Achilles' whole intro.
Yeah, I think
these,
so. Yeah,
these guys are not interested. They're walking out the door. They're taking their mics.
Yeah, we can strip this down just to the pattern game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone should take a class with Achilles. This guy has seen and done more improv than you will ever be able to imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you're here, Achilles. I'm glad you teach here.
Hey, I'm glad I'm here too, Will.
Yeah.
All right, John.
So, Saifa, what else do we have to do here? Are we done? Can we wrap this up?
Yeah, wrap it up.
All right, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
We should probably do one of these types of podcasts once a month.
I think it's a
good
idea.
Oh, one of these kind of improv
kind
nerd
of like
podcasts?
Round,
oh, yeah.
Kind of loosey-goosey.
Theory forum. I agree.
We get some questions.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have people
a new topic
tweet in questions, and then we'll do it.
Yeah. Thanks again to audible.org for sponsoring this podcast.
Sponsorship of
Stitcher
ours.
Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Stamps.com.
Ow! I just shit my pants! Oh, wow! Anyway, Richard Lewis, I remember 20 years ago I gave you a blowjob, and I was so depressed. What do you do?
Well, Mark Maron, Will would have loved seeing you here.
Mark Maron was here the whole time. We did not talk to you.
We should have interviewed him.
He doesn't know improv. He's not relevant.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Will.
Thank you, John.
You were great. Thank you, Achilles.
Thank Bye. You, Achilles. Thank you, Cypher. Thank you, Semra.
Thank you, Semra.
Bye.
Bye.
Laws are spoken to be broken. Feelings aren't tense. Words are trivial.